Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Meow Maid, Part 2, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines, inspired by the painting by Amelia Leonards. This episode is the conclusion of the two-part story. If you haven't already, make sure you listen to Part 1 from last week so you're all caught up. Here's some exciting news. By popular demand, we've made some Meow Maid shirts and bags for you. They're super soft, durable, and come in a bunch of sizes and colors. For everyone that sells, we're going to donate a dollar to a pet rescue organization. Go to storiespodcast.com/meow to check it out. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Zinnia and her family from Hillsboro, Oregon, Anya and Benny Van Haren and their family from Redwood City, California, and Emerson and Ezra and their family from San Francisco. Thank you so much, Ezra, Emerson, Benny, Anya, and Zinnia. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or just tell a friend about us. If you would like to receive a thank you in a future episode, head over to patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to Amanda at storiespodcast.com and let us know who to thank. The wait right now is less than 1 month, so it's a really good time to pledge. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie Zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Meow Maid, Part 2. Calliope yowled as the crew walked away from her. Bloodbone! She shrieked. Bloodbone and the Lady Death, they're coming! But no one understood. No one ever understood. Easy there, little kitty, said one-eyed Willa, turning back and scratching behind Calliope's ears. We all go a little sea crazy sometimes. She stood there for a moment, scratching Calliope idly. The cat meowed desperately. One-eyed Willa may have only had one eye, but it was the best eye on the ship. See it, Willa, see it! Hey, she said softly, then louder. Hey, Captain, what's that there? A few leagues off into the sun? I think it's something, but I can't quite see. Captain Calico Ken turned and came back to the rail. Yes, thought Calliope. Yes, yes!
Arr, I don't see, the captain said, and then he froze. That's Captain Bloodbone's ship. The scurvy dog, he nearly got the drop on us.
He reached down, rubbing Calliope's head with a rough hand.
Thank you, me good luck charm. When this is over, you're getting all the fish you can handle. All right, mateys, that's Bloodbone out there. He don't take prisoners, so we need to sink him before he sinks us.
He paused, setting Calliope on his shoulder and then drawing his sword with a raspy ring.
Arr, for the cunning cat! For your lives! Are you with me hearties?
The crew bellowed their aye ayes, drawing their swords in an angry chorus of naked steel.
To the cannons! Cried Captain Calico Ken, taking the great ship's wheel in his hands and steering them hard to port. To the ropes and the rigging! To arms and to battle! Arr!
The shouts rang out again, and the ship was suddenly a swarm with busy pirates. Calliope quietly left the captain's shoulders and made her way back to the stern, doing her best to stay out of the way. Calliope! Called Melpy. You're turning. Did you get them to listen?
I did! Thank you!
You should get somewhere safe, the mermaid said. It's going to get... A cannonball smashed into the water between them, sending up a roaring wave and then sinking, steaming into the sea. Another hit the front of the ship a second later, making it rock like a cradle. Surprised, Calliope lost her footing and tumbled towards the water. She scrabbled with her claws, gouging long nail marks into the planks of the deck. But the wood gave out beneath her and she fell. She fell and she screamed and she crashed into the water and sank with a splash. Calliope froze, fear seizing control of her body from her nose to her tail. Water surged around her fur and went up her nose. She tried to scream and it ran down her throat, making her choke and sputter. Water filled her eyes and ears, filled her world. She was sinking. She was lost. She was wet and cold and drowning. It was her worst fear made real, and she couldn't take it. Suddenly, strong hands were around her. She felt herself surge upwards, and then she was thrown into the air. The blessed dry air. She landed on her feet, back on the deck of the ship. Melpi had scooped her up and thrown her just like one of their nightly fish.
"Run!" screamed the mermaid. "Calliope, you have to run!"
Another cannonball smashed into the wood near Calliope, stinging her with splinters. The cat yowled and leapt away as yet another cannonball soared just overhead. She darted through the busy crew as their own cannons began to fire, followed by the pistols and flintlocks. Suddenly, the air was thick with smoke. Calliope coughed, now choking on the water and the smoke both. She couldn't see more than a whisker in front of her face. Was this the end of the world? Where was her cabin? The deck shook as a cannonball collided with the ship, knocking the cat off her paws. She coughed again, feeling weak. She tried to call for help, but that only made her cough even harder. Blind and choking, she stumbled forward. Finally, her paw came down on a rope. It snaked up into the air, disappearing into the smoke. Where it led, she couldn't say, but anywhere was better than her current world of stinking smoke and shouts and black powder. She dug her claws into the hemp rope and began to climb. The smoke grew thinner as she went, and finally she emerged into clear air. She coughed again and spat a dark gray hairball before taking a deep breath of the fresh, smokeless sky. She looked around and saw she was at the top of the forward mast, high above the deck. Below her, the battle was raging. Luckily, thanks to her warning, Captain Calico Ken and the crew of the Cunning Cat seemed to be winning. They had taken damage, to be sure, but their cannons had pounded away at Captain Bloodbone's Lady Death. The ugly ship was starting to sink into the smoky waters. But where was Captain Calico Ken? She scanned the deck, clinging tightly to her rope. There! He was at the rail of his ship, fighting off the last of the attackers, throwing them into the sea. Suddenly, he was pushed back, staggering, and Captain Bloodbone was on the deck. He was tall and broad, his legs thick as masts. In his giant, hairy fist, he clutched a battle axe in the shape of a snarling shark. The two captains faced off against each other for a moment, and then they charged. The evil Captain Bloodbone swung with a roar, and Calliope winced as Captain Ken barely managed to block it with his sword. Another massive swing of the axe, and the sword went sliding across the deck. Calliope watched in horror. Her captain! Oh no! Bloodbone laughed and kicked old Calico Ken onto his back.
"Time for some new leadership," he snarled and raised his axe high.
He started to swing, but as he did, a fish came soaring out of the sea and smashed into his back. It knocked him off balance and his swing went wild. He turned to look and another fish came flying, slapping him across the face. Calliope looked and saw Melpi. The mermaid had saved her captain. They locked eyes and Melpi gave her a wink before throwing the biggest fish yet, sending Bloodbone stumbling. Captain Calico Ken took his chance. He rolled to his feet and bull-rushed his enemy. They collided and smashed into the wooden railing. It gave out with a scream of iron nails pulling free. The crew grabbed their Calico captain, but Bloodbone's crew had already fled, so alone, he tumbled over the railing and into the sea. Calliope cheered, but only for an instant. Bloodbone's ship was sinking, and one of his smaller masts tore free while she watched. The nearly 50-foot wooden beam dragged a heavy cargo net and metal rigging behind it, and it smashed into the water like a giant's fist, right next to Melpi. The mermaid girl yelped, and then she was caught in the crash. The netting ripped free of the mast and snared her. An iron ring whipped across her head with a wicked thump, and she slumped over in the water.
Melpy, no!
Calliope cried. As she watched, the iron rings attached to the cargo net started to drag it down into the depths, pulling the poor mermaid with it. From all their talks, Melpy knew that mermaids couldn't go too deep. The pressure would kill them. The net was going to sink all the way to the bottom. She had to do something. She climbed back down the rope as Captain Calico Ken and the crew watched the sinking ship. They didn't see the mermaid, and Calliope knew she couldn't make them understand in time. If anyone was going to save Melpy, it had to be her. She jumped on the ship's railing and ran as close to her friend as she could. The net was drawn tight now, starting to sink for real. Melpy was inside, and the cat could see her flailing weakly. Calliope knew her claws could cut the net. She tensed, ready to leap. And froze. She couldn't do it. She remembered being in the water earlier. How it had gotten into her mouth and nose and ears and lungs. How it had been dark and cold, and how it had been her worst fear, and somehow even worse than that. She remembered it all, and her body locked up. She watched as Melpy started to sink, one slender hand reaching up through the cargo net. She needed someone to help. She needed someone to rescue her. She needs, thought Calliope, a friend. And with that thought, Calliope seized the courage she had never managed to find for fish. With a lion's roar, she leapt from the ship and landed in the water. It splashed her eyes and weighed down her fur, but she swam furiously and managed to get to the cargo net. Panting, she sank her claws into the hemp and started to cut. It was thick, crusted with salt, and it didn't give easily.
"Hold on, Melpy," she said, sawing with all her might. "Just hold on!"
Water or no, she couldn't leave her friend. She just couldn't. The net sank beneath the waves, the heavy iron dragging it even lower. Water lapped at Calliope's whiskers. It blurred her eyes. She was going in.
"I'm coming, Melpy!"
Captain Calico Ken and the crew watched in horror as the net was dragged to the deep, their precious cat dragged right along with it, still scratching furiously at the ropes. They tried to get to her, but she sank too fast. They were too late. Calliope was gone. The next day was a solemn affair. They had won the battle and rid the seas of Bloodbone, a truly evil pirate, but the cost had been high. Captain Calico Ken had lost his cat, his friend, and his luck. The ocean had swallowed her just as sure as it had swallowed Bloodbone. Good or bad, the seas didn't care. The seas were always hungry. He had a thought. With his Calico Calliope gone, was he just Captain Ken now? He shuddered to think.
"Sir," said One-Eyed Willa, "repairs are just about finished. We can head out soon."
"Arr, good, good. Has there been any sign?"
He trailed off, knowing the answer.
"No, sir," she said. "No sign of the brave Lady Calliope."
The captain nodded. The brave Lady Calliope. It's what the crew had started calling the cat since she went under. She had saved them all with her early warning, and none of them would ever forget her.
"Aye, Captain," Willa said, grabbing his shoulder. "Is that... no, am I going sea crazy?"
Captain Calico Ken looked up.
"Arr, shiver me timbers," he cried.
There, alongside the ship, was a beautiful girl. She waved and then jumped out of the water and flipped like a playful dolphin, showing off her long, shimmering tail.
"A mermaid!" gasped Willa. "By Davy Jones, I never thought I'd see it! A mermaid!"
The mermaid danced across the water. Willa watched her with wide eyes, but the captain had noticed something else. Something smaller, dancing in the mermaid's wake. He grabbed Willa by the chin and turned her head, his hand pale and shaky. Because there, behind the first mermaid and skipping across the water, was another. She was smaller, with a calico mermaid tail and long, curious whiskers.
"Calliope!" gasped Willa. "Calliope is a mermaid!"
Har no, matey, said old Captain Calico Ken. She's a right meow maid.
Calliope the Meow Maid danced across the swells alongside the ship. She waved at the captain and crew with a delicate paw. Then, with one look at the ship that had been her home, she dove back into the deeps. The captain wished her well. He'd miss having her on the ship, but he knew she would never be far. It was better this way, he supposed. And though it felt like his heart was walking the plank, seeing Calliope happy was a buried treasure all its own. She always liked her freedom and her fish, and now she had all she could ask of both. He was sure she'd visit often, if only to say hello. After all, there was no doubt she'd enjoy being a mermaid. It seemed she'd gotten over her fear of water, and what's more, he couldn't help but notice that in her teeth she held the biggest, juiciest fish he'd ever seen.
Yarr, he whispered. Be well, little meow maid.
And she was well, and she visited often, and she lived under the waves, happily ever after. The end. Today's story, Meow Maid Part 2, was an original story inspired by the painting by Amelia Leonards, written for you by Daniel Hines, and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, make a monthly donation at patreon.com/stories, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.